Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, December 13th, 2017. With me today, I have Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I am similarly doing well. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, John.
I'm so glad that you're doing well. And I'm really glad both of you are here. And I'm also glad that VideoBlocks is our sponsor today. They are the video, audio, and image stock service that I've been using for a little while now. Very affordable, very high quality. And I'll tell you more soon. But first, hey, we need to take a look at what's going on with some software updates, or a software update in specific. So yesterday, Apple released a software update for the airport base station lineup that fixes the crack flaw. And for those of you that are thinking that sounds vaguely familiar, it's because it should. Back in October, there's this big hullabaloo over a really serious security flaw in WP8.2 that would allow a potential attacker to decrypt specific communication transmissions over Wi-Fi networks. So and so they didn't even need to like do anything really hardcore to make this happen. And it's not a flaw with Apple's products. It's a flaw with the WPA2 standard. And so companies were rushing to fix that. And Apple rolled out updates for the Mac and iOS right away, which is great. And then they said, hey, but Airport Extreme, airport base stations, they actually aren't susceptible to this. We don't need to release a patch. They're fine. And while they were saying that, all these other companies were rolling out their patches for their Wi-Fi router systems. And then yesterday, Apple rolls out a crack patch for the airport base stations. So with that info out there, first, if you're running an airport base station, go and make sure that the software update on it so that it gets that security patch, because you don't want to leave any holes open for bad guys to take advantage of. And then the other thing is, when I look at this and I see some of the other things that have been coming up, you know, which could include the HomeKit security flaw that Apple patched on the server side last week, and they said they're rolling out a software update this week. It's Wednesday. We haven't seen it yet, so any day or any time now. And some of the other things that we're seeing, weird little bugs, do we need to look at this as a problem for Apple, or is this just like a transient issue as they've been working through a lot of big software updates?
Well, it occurs to me that it could be just the fact that because the airport base station is no longer being updated, that they've disbanded the product team and they're just selling out remaining inventory. So the product team, the product manager may not exist anymore. So when the question came up, hey, are we susceptible to crack? There was no product manager to ask. And so somebody took their best guess and said, I recall talking to this guy, and he said, no, it's not. And they rolled with it.
Yeah, but that guy left a year ago. So
yeah. So
I think
it could be that rather than just a gross misunderstanding of the security issue.
It could be as simple as the logistics of since there technically isn't really an Airport Express anymore, there's probably not a team.
Right.
So if there's nobody working on any of that stuff, they probably, you know, like now in my mind, it's just the Blues Brothers. Like they have to go get the band back together. So
and then some security researcher
together and get it out the door.
Dug in there and found out that it's not fixed and contacted Apple and said, hey, just look what I found. And then they went, oh, now we better fix it.
Yeah. And I think it's probably a certain amount of that. And I wonder if this is a thing where perhaps part, what I would like to think is that part of this issue was as they realized the number of these that are still in existence, in use in people's lives, whether it's, you know, a small office or in their homes, and figuring out, like, finding some sort of metric on, like, how many times the airport utility has phoned home in the last month or whatever, and figuring out how many of these are still in existence. Maybe they were also trying to sort of build into place some sort of SWAT team kind of situation where if something like this happens again, the turnaround time on getting it fixed is much shorter. So I would like to think that that's a thing that happened. There's an excellent chance that nobody is thinking far enough ahead to go, what if another one of these things pops up in another 6 months or a year and people are still using these devices? So, and Apple's not a company that's going to just go issue something that breaks all of them and make people buy something else. Like, that's not who they are. Right. So
you mean I like would like Nest. To...
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Was the drop cam situation. So it's not like Apple couldn't afford to send everybody a new router, but Apple doesn't have a better offer to make them at this point. So I'm hoping that maybe part of it is we also want to make sure that our response doesn't suck in the future, and that maybe some of that was built into this and that took a little bit of extra time. But I would like to think that of everybody. I'm not saying that because I want to think that of Apple. I want to think that of any company when there's a fundamental flaw like this that gets exposed. I would like to think that if it were Microsoft, if it were Dell, if it were Cisco or Linksys or D-Link or Asus or any of these companies that make this kind of networking gear, I'd like to think that any of them would handle it that way as well.
Well, that's a really delicate issue, Kelly, when you decide that a product is end of life. Mm-hmm. You can't just turn your back on it. You may not want to be pursuing it anymore, but you still have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Right, which is why I'm hoping that they've sort of got this, like, let's try to preserve as much knowledge as we have, or like, if we've moved you to another team because there is no more airport team, you know, can we pull you back and pick your brain for stuff if we have a problem like this in the future? And I'm hoping that some sort of mechanism like that has been put in place, but I
have a hypothesis.
Well, in the past, I have heard stories, lots of them, about how during Steve Jobs' era, at least, when a product was disbanded, the team was disbanded. That is, they were laid off, and there was not a whole lot of effort to repurpose the talent of the team. I suspect, although I'm not sure, that that's changed a little bit under Tim Cook.
Well, yeah, I don't know that people are laid off as much. I mean,
I have to interrupt for a second.
Yes.
Because I just got a notification that iOS 11.2.1 is out, which tells me that's probably the update that addresses the HomeKit bug that we mentioned just a minute ago. So when I said that we were hours or days away from the update, apparently we were seconds away from the update.
I see it too. Just came in here.
Yeah.
But a moment, yes.
Yes. So, all right. I also have a hypothesis about what may have happened.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have to move on because I want to make sure we get a chance to talk about our other topic. But here's my hypothesis. So Apple disbands the engineering team working on airport wireless products. And some of the team gets laid off. Some of the team gets reassigned to other departments or other projects, and so when the whole crack thing happened, the Apple's management went around and sought out some of these people, and they said, "Hey, the WPA2 crack thing, a problem for us?" And the engineer said, "Well, we didn't do a standard implementation of WPA2, so probably not." And the managers are like, "Sweet, thumbs up, good enough for me," and left it at that. And in the meantime, someone figured out, yeah, there actually is a problem. And so they rolled out an update. So my guess is, based on my hypothesis, that Apple did not intentionally mislead people back in October when they said the airport base stations do not need an update because they're not susceptible. I think that they genuinely believed that was not an issue, and then later on figured out that it is still a problem because they didn't have the right people or the right internal documentation to be able to definitively say whether or not this was a problem.
I think that's an excellent theory. I sign off on that. I like it.
Awesome. Okay. Well, then with that sign off in place, hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is VideoBlox. And VideoBlox, pretty awesome, because what they're doing is offering people and businesses an inexpensive way to get really high quality video stock content, audio stock content, and image stock content. And they have over 150,000 videos, over 100,000 audio clips, over 400,000 images, and they're adding in more all the time because they have these pros out there that are making this really high quality content for you to use, and it's royalty free. So you're paying far less than you would with other services, and you're getting this royalty-free content. And by far less, I mean $149 a year for all the content you can download and use in your projects. And so that would be like if you just need video content, $149 a year. If you just need audio content, $149 a year. And you get the idea. But here's the deal. If you want to take advantage of a sweet deal, they have one, and it's just for our TDO listeners, and that's called the triple bundle. So what they're doing for all of you listeners is they are offering all three, the audio, video, and image services, as a package for $149 for a year. So the triple bundle, that gets you all of that content and all of it for the price of one of their services, which is just like crazy awesome. So here's how this works. To get my special triple bundle offer, what you have to do is go to videoblox.com/TDO, and don't wait, because it's a special offer and it's good only through December. So available only in December. You have to take advantage of this right away. Don't procrastinate, because you'll miss out. And then you're just going to be feeling pretty lame because you didn't get to take advantage of this. So that's videoblox.com/TDO. And just go sign up, because it's going to be great. All that content for an awesome price. And if you have a business where you need to have stock image, stock audio, or stock video content, and you don't want to have to worry about licensing or anything, this is such an easy way to get really good content for your projects, for your websites, whatever you're working on. So thank you, VideoBlox, for being our sponsor. And that URL again is videoblox.com/TDO. Okay. So, on a not quite as exciting content note, Tidal, the streaming music service that hit the internet airwaves, what would that have been? In 2015, and was going to be the ultimate streaming service, because you're going to get much higher audio quality out of the songs you're listening to, and there's going to be all this content that's exclusive from artists, and the artists were going to get a bigger cut of the royalties from the licensing payments. So it sounded like this win-win scenario just all the way around. And it turns out that, well, it's not getting the subscribers that they had hoped. And even with Sprint investing $200 million in the company back in January, so Sprint bought a 33% stake in Tidal. Tidal isn't doing well right now. And the latest report is that they have 6 months of cash left, and then they are out of money. And I'm curious, what do you guys think about that?
Where'd the money go? Did That's it go up really to the managers, or did it go into subscription royalty fees, or where did the money go? Well, if I was Sprint, I'd want to know.
I'm guessing that it didn't go to artists, because the whole thing about artists not getting paid has been an ongoing fight with Tidal for a while. And that ultimately is the reason why Kanye West broke his exclusive deal with Tidal. And in the end, it wasn't that exclusive anyhow, because he was just kind of flip-flopping around and having what appeared to me to be a very public meltdown where it was it seemed to me that he really needed someone to get him some serious mental help. Mm-hmm. And I hope he got that. But the point for this discussion is that even Kanye West, he bailed in the end because of payments that he says he wasn't getting.
But here's the thing is that, I sort of feel like if he was one of a number of people not getting paid, and remember all the people we saw around that table in that video when it was all like, we're Tidal and we're going big, and you know, mm-hmm. Let's be honest, it was Beyonce and a bunch of other people. I think her husband might have been there, Mr. Beyonce, and a number of other folks.
Yep, Prince, like, there were Deadmau5.
Yeah, there were lots of people around that table. And so I feel like if Kanye was one of a number of people not getting paid, we would have heard from those other people, I'm not getting paid. Or we would have seen, we would have started seeing an uptick in Tidal exclusive artists ending up on other services. And I don't feel like we've seen that, like, as a result, like as a, you know, action reaction sort of a thing. Well,
we have seen a steady stream of exclusive deals fizzling out.
Yes, we have seen that, but nobody's come out and said
a ton of people complaining about the royalties or the payment issue. Right. Although we have seen several people do that.
Okay. So it sounds to me like one of two things has happened here. And I don't know. I don't have sources. This is just sort of what it seems like from here. And this is, again, one of those things that comes with all the caveats of, you know, like when I comment about Apple, I don't know anybody there. This is just what it looks like from here. There's probably a lot more to this story. First of all, like, Jay-Z didn't start this company. Beyonce didn't start this company. It was purchased. Mm-hmm. I think Jay-Z bought it and then got other people to buy into it after it was his.
Yeah.
I'm recalling my timelines correctly.
Yeah. And he spent, I want to say $40 million, somewhere between $40 and $45 million for the company, as I recall. Yep.
Right. So it wasn't like somebody built this and did a poor job of building it. Like, it existed and then Jay-Z went shopping. So, you know, he's got 99 problems and a check ain't one. So he bought the company, and either
I see what you did there, Kelly.
I'm glad someone did. I was hoping maybe that that wasn't going to go completely unnoticed. It wasn't a very well run company in the first place, and they bought it and sort of left it hands off, and the suboptimal management that they already had went by the wayside, or people were installed once it had new ownership and the people installed didn't do a good job of this, because it doesn't sound like it's the fault of Beyonce or the fault of Kanye or any of those people, because I don't honestly know. I mean, let's be honest, Beyonce probably doesn't have a lot to do with the day-to-day operation of Tidal.
That's
like, I'm just going to put that out there, and I know it sounds crazy, but I'm pretty sure that's not where she's spending the bulk of her time. And I'm pretty sure that all those people around that table, it's not where they're spending the bulk of their time either. And so I'm not sure what's going on with it. I'm disappointed to hear it, because I really wanted them to be a competitor, because I always like when there's another competitor. Like, you know, anybody should have the chance to build an awesome streaming service with high quality audio. But like, Tidal had one big strike against it, in my opinion, which is that there is no free tier. So you have to buy it on spec. You can't try it out and go, yeah, this is great, but I don't want commercials, so I'm going to pay for it, like people do with basically most other services.
As I recall, they have like a 2-week free trial sort of thing.
Okay. Apple Music has a 3-month free trial where you can cash in and try it for a long time, you know, which I think is great. So there's like there, you know, Spotify has a completely 100% free tier that you can use forever. Pandora has a free tier you can use forever. And then you just pay to remove the ads from that. And at least in my experience, that seems to be a much better model. Like, I just want to list, I want unlimited skips and no commercials, so I'm going to buy it. So I don't know that, I feel like Tidal might have shot themselves in the foot a little bit there, just by not maybe not offering enough of a trial, or you know, or the other thing where they lose out, I think, is in the high quality of their streaming. And not because they're offering high quality streaming, but when most people are streaming, they're not streaming on a device where that higher quality is going to be appreciated. They're streaming on a phone, they're streaming on a car speaker, they're streaming on a computer speaker of some kind, whether it's the one built into the computer or one plugged into the side with the headphone jack. Like, those are not going to be the experiences that somebody like Kanye is going to want for his music if it's streaming over the internet, you know. But it's difficult in a lot, if not impossible in a lot of cases, to get a stream to come out of the giant speakers, the really nice ones that you have in your house that are the ones that are supposed to be appropriate for this sort of experience, because it's such high quality audio they're streaming to me. Like, if you're streaming it to my phone and I listen to Pandora and I listen to Tidal, I'm not going to see a lot of difference, because the speaker is only as good as the speaker is.
Right. And if you're using Bluetooth, you're losing some of your audio quality right there as well.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay. So, we're kind of out of time. So I'm going to pose a question to both of you before we wrap up. And here's the question. Do you think, because it looks like Tidal is in dire straits right now, that within 6 months, they're just going to go belly up, or is someone going to buy them? John, what do you think?
Well, it kind of depends on the buyer's perspective about how the company was managed. If they think they have a sound business model and people were misallocating the funds.
John, that's reality. We just want to know what you think.
You know, let the buyer beware.
Set logic equals off. Now tell us what you think.
Probably it would be allowed to go belly up, because there's a stressed marketplace, and so the companies that is like Spotify and Pandora will probably be seen as, you know, all we need. And a buyer would have to be very aggressive and very capable to come in there and say, well, we're going to buy Tidal and turn it around and compete. That's a tough thing to do.
All right, Kelly, what do you think?
I think that, here's what I hope happens is that they do not fail. What I would like to see happen is that either Pandora or Spotify buys them and they become some sort of high-end offering from one of those two services. I don't think Apple Music is interested. They bought a music service already. Beats is what became Apple Music. So, on the one hand, Spotify makes a lot of sense, but on the other hand, Spotify is first and Pandora isn't, and this might be a thing that would help Pandora gain some ground. So I think one of those two services will make some sort of deal, at least for the catalog and whatnot. And if you're going to write that kind of check, Spotify is probably the only one that has the kind of cash to back that up. All right. I think they're going to get picked up by another service and absorbed in some way.
Okay. Well, and so then I'll wrap up with my hypothesis again, since I'm Mr. Hypothesis today. I think that at this point, the value that Spotify or Apple or Amazon or anyone else is going to get out of Tidal is kind of gone, because they already have their deals. All these companies are already streaming with far, far more people than Tidal has. So they're not going to get a big boost in subscriber numbers. And I think that there's a likelihood that we will, when we get to that bitter end, we're going to start seeing lawsuits pop up where we have different artists that are suing or filing a class action lawsuit against Tidal, and maybe other investors or creditors. And I think it's going to lock the company into a legal quagmire where it's not going to be purchasable or easily purchasable, even if there's a company that wants to buy them.
Hey, Jeff sides with me. Cool.
There you go.
I win.
All right. Well, then on that fun note, hey, we are way out of time. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
And thank you to VideoBlocks for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, videoblocks.com/TDO, and take advantage of the triple bundle so you get all of their video, all of their audio, and all of their image stock content for $149 for a year. It's royalty free, but you really have to jump on this because this deal ends at the end of December. And hey, it's already December 13th. So procrastination is not the way to go right now. So go check it out. Videoblocks.com/TDO. Thank you for being our sponsor. Listeners, thank you for being here. And thank you for all of the awesome comments and responses to yesterday's show about iMac Pro. I think we're going to have to loop back to that and take a look at some of the things that all of you people were saying. So thank you for all of that feedback. Every one of you, you rock. And we'll see you again tomorrow.